listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I want to talk to you this morning about winning and losing. Winning and losing. We're a society of people that want winners and not losers. Can I diverge just a little bit? Will you give me the opportunity to do that? I just happen to be a baseball fan. I love baseball. I grew up playing baseball. I played a high level of baseball. And so I have an appreciation for the game and what it stands for and so on and so forth. However, in our region, we have had a professional baseball team that struggled for many, many decades. About two decades, really. And they have come to life in recent days. They have had some miraculous wins over the course of this season. And people have just kind of dismissed them as being an okay team that got lucky on occasions. And then what they do is they made their way into the playoffs. The Seattle Mariners did that, in case you didn't know. And they did it with a walk-off home run that put them in the playoffs. And they faced the Toronto Blue Jays. Am I boring you here? They face the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, I'm Canadian, or have been Canadian. I'm a past Canadian. I'm a post-Canadian. But I still have an interest in what goes in north of the border there. So Canada's baseball team are the Toronto Blue Jays. And so the Seattle Mariners have no home games in the series. And so what they do is they travel to Toronto, and they wax the Blue Jays in the first game. How many watched that? A few of you did. Then came yesterday. No home games in this series. It's a best of three series to move on to the next level. So they get into this game, and they happen to find themselves 8 runs to 1 run. They're down 7 runs. No team in professional baseball has come back with that kind of a deficit since the 1920s. But your Seattle Mariners not only tied the game, but they had a go-ahead run, and they miraculously won the game. I use that word advisedly, miraculously. You know, we attribute that to God and things that are important. But the Mariners pulled off, let's say it that way. They pulled off a victory that was off the charts. So off to Houston they go, and I just could not help but notice the cameras going over the fans of the Toronto Blue Jays. They were so dejected. How could you lose when you have a 7-run advantage? We're a society that wants winners and not losers. Correct? We have other teams that we're pulling for, and we like to see them win. But more close to home, church, we individually, for the most, want to be winners and not losers. Anybody here like losing? I, for one, enjoy a victory. So in a sense, this morning, I want to talk to you about being a winner spiritually. How many are up for some spiritual wins in your life? I am. Last week, we considered the good part of trials in our life. Could there be anything good coming out of trials in our life? Well, last week, we concluded that the answer is absolutely yes. There are good things that come out of our trials. If you missed the message, you can go back and listen to it. But I do want to highlight two key things. When hardships come your way, when the impossible faces you, and you need God to intervene, we are a people, we are a church that contend for signs and wonders, for the miraculous, and for God just to step in on the scene. Anybody with me on that subject? We want to see God victorious through his miraculous ways. However, you don't have to be a Christian very long before you realize that God doesn't always work signs and wonders in our life. I trust you've had some of the intervening work of God in your life, because what it does, it increases your faith. It takes your journey in Christ to a new level. And when we see signs and wonders and miraculous, what it really does is it points to the unbeliever that there is a God who can do amazing things. You can trust him with your life. And so when Jesus did the miraculous, how many know the multitudes flocked to him? And they connected with him, and they started following him. So that's the purpose of signs and wonders. It's for the purpose of drawing people to Jesus. It isn't necessarily intended to make life comfortable for us. When I get sick, it's miserable. I don't like it. Sometimes I pray and God does something and I'm well instantly. Sometimes I have to endure. Anybody like me here? You have to endure this. So that brings me to the second point of hardships. You see, as we are enduring, we're processing. And God is working in our life to conform us to the person of Jesus Christ. So last week we determined, yep, it is a good idea for us to go through a few hardships, because that process conforms us to the person of Jesus. And how many know that's a good thing? That's not a bad thing. If God has to take you through a knothole to get you there, so be it. But I'm learning to be a quick study for God, so that when he talks to me, I'll quickly process what he wants me to know. I don't want to be stubborn, bullheaded, and be such a person that he has to deal with me harshly. How many want to learn quickly and easily? Well, we can do that. So this morning, I want to continue the idea that God is at work in our life. That is to learn from our trials and take the next step of faith. Would you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12? I'm going to read a little story here out of the scripture. I'm going to read to you out of the English Standard Version, and it'll sound like your Bible, but maybe have a few little differences. But here's the story. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great. How many know that's a pretty lofty threefold proclamation? But look what the next line says. So that, how many know that God always has a purpose behind what he says to us? He said this to Abram, and he said it, and then he states, so that you will be a blessing. How many want your life to be a blessing? I do. I want my life to count. I only have one of them. And I want to make that life count for eternity, so that your life will be a blessing. And God said, I will bless those who bless you. That's good. And him who dishonors you, God said, I will curse him. Wow. I mean, oh, God goes before us. He covers us. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many know you're part of a human family? Do you realize you are today in 2022 an extension of that promise, that blessing given to Abram? You are the fulfillment of that very statement this morning. This word is given to Abram. The Bible goes on to say here, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. And by the way, when Abram went, he didn't board a 737 or take Amtrak or hop into his SUV, fill it up with gas, and head off to where God told him to go. But nevertheless, this is an amazing story about a man who received an amazing word from the Lord. And what strikes me is the ending line after he receives this clear word. Do you know what he does? He obeys. And you today are a recipient of his obedience to God. And I want you to bear in mind, though, for this word to be fulfilled, for this statement of God to actually be fulfilled in Abram's life, Abram needs to do at least three things. Think about what he has to do to achieve this promise of God in his life. Number one thing he has to do, he has to leave his country. Secondly, he's got to leave his kinfolk. Thirdly, he has to distance himself from his father's house. That's a pretty tall order. Church. It wasn't like an overnight thought here that he's got to process something in his life. Now, my question is this. If you got a word from God, would you be willing to cut away as Abram did so quickly? I don't think Abram was able to get to that spot like overnight. There's been a lot of things going on in Abram's life that led him to a place where he would readily obey God. Here's a straightforward equation for you. You could write it down. When I live by faith, I win. When I live by sight, I lose. How many want to be winners and not losers? When you live by faith, you win. If you choose to live by sight, you're going to lose. When we say, I win, or a win, what do we mean? A win means I have victory over the trials of my life. When I walk in victory over those hardships, I remain strong and true to God. It amazes me how many people are knocked off balance when a hardship comes. And they quickly and easily forsake God. But a win means that I remain strong and true to God. Can I go back to the Seattle Mariners? Down 8-1? I mean, no, that's a recipe to caving in. You save your pitchers for the next game. You don't waste all of your resources on the remaining part of this game, especially when there's only a few innings left to go. You prep yourself, but they stayed in the harness. They stayed in the focus. Guy gets up there, slaps a single over here. Another guy slaps another single over there. And before you know it, the bases are loaded. And then came that moment. Did you watch the game yesterday? How many did? Well, let me tell you, because most of you were asleep at the wheel here. Batter hits a blooper. Do you know what a blooper is? It's a ball that doesn't go very far. It just goes to a place where it's so inconvenient for the defense to get to. It could easily just drop in there as a... Some people call those Texas leaguers, okay? The ball happened to go beyond second base. It was just... And the infielder comes after it, like I mean a bullet. The outfielder's coming after this ball like a bullet. And what happens, they collide. And both of them are laying on the field. The base is clear. Instantly, the Seattle Mariners have 3 runs, and the guy that batted and hit the blooper is standing on second base. Game is halted. They haul one of the guys off. He's injured. I won't bore you with any more details. You go get the review yourself. But this stuff continues. They keep applying themselves and not giving up. A win means I stay strong. Even when it doesn't look good, I'm going to stay in a place of faith. It means I'm conquering temptation and I'm living without compromise. That's what it means, staying in the game. It means not always needing to see the next step before I trust God's word and follow him. That's hard to do. Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, spent his whole life living out this truth. And in Genesis chapter 17, God says, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Let me give you some background here. His original name, Abram, means exalted father in the Hebrew. His new name, Abraham, means father of a multitude. Abraham's name now represents how he was being used by God to become a father of a multitude. Remember in the Sunday schools, we used to sing, and Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons as Father Abraham, and I am one of them. That's where I'm going. You are one of the sons of Father Abraham. The multitudes trickle down to this generation. Abraham's name now represents how he was being used by God as the beginner of a nation for God, and that God would work through him. How many want God to work through you? We're not done here yet. You see, Abraham had a problem. He becomes an old man who is beyond his childbearing years. And if he's going to have a family, he better get started pretty quick. But we find him way up there. He's an old geezer. So this is going to have to take faith to get this job done. How many know sometimes we can get ahead of God? And our friend Abraham did get ahead of God, because he had a wife that was well past childbearing years. So Abraham took matters in his own hands. Not a good idea, church. And so we have a son born to Abraham. His name was Ishmael. Ishmael has plagued, the sons of Ishmael has plagued the children of God, Israel, to this very day. Popping up in all kinds of forms as the Arab nations of this world. I don't need to go further into that part of things. You can figure it out. But in the timing of God, Isaac is born. This whole story started out in a land far, far away from what we know as the country of Israel today, the Ur of the Chaldees. Beautiful spot, a luscious place, where many think the Garden of Eden originally began. That's another story. God drew this major plan up for Abraham, and this is what he essentially said. I'm starting a new nation, Abraham, and you're the man to lead it. It's really what he says. So get up, move away, so you don't get tangled up with all these ungodly people that surround you in the Ur of the Chaldees, because I've got a job for you to do. Can you superimpose yourself in Abraham's shoes? How many here believe God has a job for you to do? But he's got to process you so you're ready to do what he says for you to do. And the process will be largely a battle of your wills. Because we have this self nature that gets in the way. And we're so protective for our own self that sometimes we lose sight of the ways of God. We live in a culture that is not kingdom oriented. And we're constantly challenged to advance the kingdom of God. Much like Abraham was to take the purposes of God and start a nation out of his own loins, miraculously. This miracle was not to be consumed on himself, it was for God's glory and for your benefit. So we see way back there, Abraham has a choice to make. How many have been in crossroads in your life? You can either go this way or you can go that way. Aren't you glad that Abraham went this way? But it didn't come, probably very easily. He could have doubted God and made up some good excuses for not obeying God. So my mind starts to wander at this point, and I begin to think, maybe, what might Abraham have thought when this assignment was delivered to him? Maybe, well, I didn't hear God correctly. How many of you ever had that thought go through your mind when God has addressed your situation? Maybe, just maybe, his diet wasn't the best and he overloaded on pizza the night before. Maybe it wasn't really God talking to me. His reasons could have been more rational and respectable, like what? Well, this isn't prudent. Or, after all, I can't see what's ahead for me in Israel. That's just plain too risky and bad stewardship. So I don't think God's in this. Abraham could have even said, I know God wants to bless me, so you know what our default is? So I'll just pray. I'll pray about it. And then he would come up with the conclusion, Lord, you could bless me here. I don't need to go there. If you want to bless me here. We can start a family right here. What else could he say? Well, I'll live for you here. You know, I'll suffer for you here. I'll live amongst these pagan people. Trust me, I won't let them contaminate me. Abraham could have delayed his faith. He could have said, it's not a good time for me right now. I'll definitely move later, God, as soon as I see how your plan plays out. But Abraham didn't do any of those. And aren't you glad? You see, If he wouldn't have done what God asked him to do, he would have missed his day of visitation. And he would have lost out on the most incredible plan of the ages that God had designed just for him. Because do you realize that the Messiah came through his lineage? Jesus came to the planet through the Israelite people. I mean, no, God never makes a mistake. He's got a plan. And he wants you to be in on that plan. He doesn't want you to get distracted with the surroundings. So if he has you do certain things that doesn't make sense to you, scrap your sense and obey God. And Abraham chose instead here to live by faith, and consequently, he won. That was a win for him. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 4 says, "So Abraham went as the Lord had told him." This was faith in action. Now, Abraham's deal, hear me carefully, Abraham's deal was about leaving his country and relocating. Your deal, that was Abraham's deal. Your deal is probably entirely different. It's probably trusting God in your storm right now, in a hardship. That's your deal. The bottom line is to act in faith and believe God. So what does walking by faith look like in a practical sense? Like how, where, what, when? Like in your marriage. Or maybe in the workplace. Or maybe in a health matter. Some of you are going through some stuff. And some of that doesn't make sense. Canadian borders have just opened up to us. So Sharon and I are going to make a hurry-up trip to see one of her cousins. Why? Because he's dying of cancer. And we wouldn't be able to see him if the borders were closed. Now we have a window of opportunity to go see him. But the question is, why has he got cancer? Here's a young man that, not young now, but in his lifetime, served God as an evangelist, went all across the country, the United States, preaching the gospel, doing children's work. He actually was on this very platform, ministering to children with his puppets. So I raise the question, why? Why is he suffering in this way? Why does he have to go through all this? You see, Abraham's deal was leaving a country, relocating, and you know that part of the story. Our deal could be different. It could be a health issue. It could be a financial thing. You're experiencing a lot of financial pressure right now. And how are you going to get out of that? How are you going to trust God? We had a class yesterday that we talked about some things. And one of the things we talked about is when we talk about Cornerstone Church. We talk about financially contributing to the work and ministry of this house. And we did talk about tithing and making that a discipline of our lives. But you know, sometimes we're not in a good place as far as our disciplines are concerned. And so we run out of funds. And we find ourselves in a place where we just don't, well, we conclude we can't afford to tithe. Can I say something, and I don't want to say this in a bragging sense, but Sharon and I crossed and made that decision a long, long time ago. If you were to look at my checkbook, you would see that the first check that I write after I get paid is the tithe. I don't pay all the bills and then wonder, do I have any money left over for the tithe? It doesn't work like that in my mind. I put God first, and I literally write the first check to Cornerstone Church. That's how it goes. Oh, by the way, that's only 10%. So how else do we budget our money? 10% to God, 10% to savings. Because she doesn't want to be bankrupt, okay? So we have to save. And you know what we've done? We've disciplined ourselves to live on 80%. Can I tell a story? I did yesterday, I'll tell it today. Sharon and I, we were youth pastors in Kelso, Washington. The church paid us $400 a month. Granted, they had an apartment for us in the basement of the church. So we lived in the church apartment. But we quickly said, we don't want to be living in the basement of the church. Because you know what they did? They put a doorbell on the outside door, and everybody that wanted financial help through the course of the night would ring that doorbell, and we'd go there, can you give us 10 bucks? We need help financially. We're out of gas. So we made a decision. We're not going to live in this basement apartment the rest of our days. So we decided to save. Of the $400, $40 went to tithe. $100 went into savings. Do the math. We lived on the rest for the month. That took some discipline. That meant we didn't eat out, let alone at McDonald's. We didn't eat out anywhere. And we learned how to live on that. So I'm going to apply something to you. What about a 80-10-10 plan? What about giving God 10%? What about saving 10% and disciplining yourself to live on 80%? Sharon and I have now been able to contribute. I think our giving is up to not 10%. We're up to maybe 30 to 35%, I would say, of our income goes to the work of God. Tithing is the bare minimum. So I say all that to say this. If you're struggling financially, maybe God's putting his finger on you about your giving and how you manage the money that he entrusts to you. That's called stewardship. And you don't have to read much of Jesus' teachings before he calls you on being a good steward. Boy, got quiet in here. But that was a good place to say amen. It really was. It's a good spot. You see, God is processing you. He's taking you through some hardships, through some financial knotholes, maybe a health issue. He's at work in your life. And I've seen and I've heard so many stories that have ended in shipwreck because these cycles of despair have not been fixed. Now, here's how walking by faith has worked for me in a practical sense. Can I just unload with you some personal things? And I would say this, if you apply these few things to your life, your faith walk will progress, it'll be fruitful, and your life will be a dream. You, as Abraham, will be a blessing to many people. Here's what we got to do. Number one, you got to know God's word, because God never will lead you or go contrary to his word. You got to know God's word. That means you got to read it. You got to study it. You should, when you're reading God's word, have a good concordance beside you to cross-reference, to see what God's word says here, what God's word says there. And you should be signing up for every Bible study that's available so that you can increase your knowledge of God's word. That's square one, point one. Number two, trust that God is always working for your good and his glory. Some of us have a skewed vision of God. He's a bad man. He wants to make life miserable for me. He's out there to beat me up. No, God's not that way. God is working in our life for our good and for his glory. You got to trust him in that. That's huge. Okay? Number three, now I'm going to get into some more practical senses here. Submit your plans and your life to trusted spiritual authority for counsel and input. You were never intended to fly alone. Before you make a big decision in your life, get some counsel on that. Some of you young people, who you're going to marry? Some of you old people, who you're going to marry? I scratch my head sometimes. You should sort this thing out. Number four, get rid of soulish ideas and wishes. Hook up a fire hose to your life and flush out every soulish idea. It's kind of like what Debbie and I were doing yesterday. We're not going to talk about that, are we? You want to know about this one? You know about this one? How many want to know about this one? So. I'm going somewhere. I'm in a hurry. I stop by the church. Debbie says, this vacuum isn't working. I said, what? This worked before. She says, it's plugged. Can't plug a vacuum. You can. We got to stop Carol from vacuuming up rats. I just say that facetiously. Carol, where are you? Please forgive me. Anyhow, here's what happens. This hose, just the middle part of the hose, it's just all jammed. And we tried everything. Six-inch wad in there. We tried everything. Broken hangers. I even went to the spigot outside, and I stuck the hose against that and turned the water on. Did we have a shower? We had a shower. All that to say this, sometimes our lives need a good flushing of soulish ideas. Okay. Number five. If you're going through a trial, a hardship, you know what it is? Read your Bible. I haven't got time to go over all this. But it's proof that God loves you. Because the Bible says he disciplines those people that he loves. So if you're going through a difficult time or a discipline, that's evidence that God loves you. That's pretty important stuff. And then sixthly, here's what I want you to do. Develop a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in your life. This isn't going to come overnight either. And this comes by times in prayer and by soaking. Say soaking. Soaking in worship. So here's what I need you to do when you come together as a corporate house. It's not our job to critique the worship team. That's not our job. Our job is to close our eyes, and whatever they do, they do. Our job is to lift our hearts, our hands, our focus, and begin to worship God. Okay? And when we soak in worship, you begin to hear the voice of God. The voice of God begins to confirm what the Word of God is saying and what spiritual authority has said to you, what your pastors are saying, and it begins to make sense, and you start applying God's Word to your life. So let me wrap up. Are the choices that you're making right now characterized by faith? Or are you living by sight? Okay. Are they rooted in soulish desires? And can I ask you, how do you know if that desire is soulish or not? Ask a trusted spiritual leader and run that by them to ascertain if you're thinking clearly, because sometimes we don't think clearly. Are there any excuses that are creeping into your plans? Because, listen carefully, and I'm almost done, when you live by faith, you win. But when you live by sight, you're going to lose every time. Every time. So could you stand with me, please? Is anybody getting anything out of this today? How many want to be a winner? How many glad you got an example like Abram, later changed his name to Abraham. God changed his name to Abraham. If you read your Bible, there's more like him in that Bible that we can pattern our life after, a life of faith and trusting God through our hardships, through our pain. Not here to tell you that every step of this Christian journey is going to be painless or problem-free. I'm here to tell you that a lot of the journey will be full of problems. And you're called to be a problem solver. That's what you're called to be. And the easiest way to solve your problems is to obey God. That's the easiest way. But if you want to be a slow learner, he's got a way. How many know that? He's got a Ways and Means Committee. And this Ways and Means Committee knows how to operate. But today, I just want to encourage you. We had an encouraging word that God is with us and he's for us. And I want us, you can come and you can receive ministry from the ministry team today. This coming Saturday, Healing Places is active. You could come and be ministered to, and people will stand with you and pray with you for the ability to go through some stuff that you're going through. I like to pray first for a miracle. God, take this hardship from me. Let me go on. God says, no, you got some rough edges. And then the master builder applies his technique to my life. Today, you can come and receive ministry and the worship. And the prayer team is here to pray with you and for you. But I want you this morning just to join with me in concluding prayer. Would you lift your hands to the Lord if you would? It's kind of like a surrender. You know, that's, you know, when the guy sticks his pistol in your back, hands go up. The Holy Spirit has put his pistol in our backs, and so our hands go up to surrender to Jesus right now. So I want to pray with you because we're surrendering to him. Jesus, today, the Holy Spirit has been working in our life. And you love us so much. You want to see us changed into your likeness and image. And the process, Lord, I have to be honest, sometimes gets difficult, hard. We call it a hardship. But it doesn't even hold a candle to the hardship that you went through 2,000 years ago. So help us, Lord Jesus. Help us through the process, whether it's finances, whether it's health issues, whether it's family dynamics. Help us, Lord. We're leaning into you today. And can we take a lesson from Abraham and just go do what you said to do? Help us, Lord. Help us. I'm asking, Lord, that this next week will be a different week, a week where we've been applying truth to our life, and we're constantly growing and being changed into the glory and image of Christ. I want to make a bold statement here, church. Maybe you can pray with me. Here's what I want to pray. Lord, even thank you for the hardship. We don't see clearly because we walk by sight, but by faith, we're thanking you for the hardship because it's processing us into the person you want us to be, so that in due season, when the time is right, we will be ready. And there will be little or no mixture in our life. And you can trust us with heavenly things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you need to go get your kids. If you want to come forward, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship for a while. If you want to join in on us, that's how we're going to close out here. And just soak up. Just soak up. Soak up. Become saturated in the presence of Jesus. God bless you. Have a dynamic week.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.